either one of them. So it looks like this final preseason game, according to all reports coming out of Pittsburgh, this could actually be the turning. This is the difference maker, the third preseason game. Is that a smart way to determine who should actually be starting for the Steelers?
I think you got to put the caveat that Russ missed some time. So I think that pushed everything back. He actually missed some pretty significant time.
A couple weeks.
Yeah, that makes perfectly sense because everyone knew this was once Russell Wilson went out, I was like, oh, okay, this is pretty close. I have no problem with that. I against the grain a little bit here. I thought Russ looked okay. Like his arm looked kind of lively in the game. I think it's Russ's job to lose still because of Mike Tomlin. I think that he worries that Justin Fields is going to take too many sacks and put the team behind where they want to be. Russell Wilson, there are going to be fireworks in Pittsburgh. He's just going to be get a few first downs, avoid interceptions. Mike Tomlin will win with defense. I think Russ, it's his job to lose. I expect him to play okay on, is it Saturday?
Yep.
Maybe get three or four things, and that's going to be enough. As long as he doesn't look terrible, I think Russ is going to win it.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like you mentioned about sacks and how Justin Fields is taking sacks. Mm. Russ took sacks.
Yeah, he did.
And the offensive line didn't hold up, and he's way more of the sitting duck back there than Justin Fields. But let's hear from Russell Wilson. This was him yesterday sort of revealing to everyone that he and the Steelers are playing the final preseason game and what's on the line.
Yeah, we're playing. Yeah, we're all playing. I'm excited to get back on the field. You know, last week was great to be out there for the first time, you know, putting the pads on and everything else. And you know, obviously we didn't get the win and everything else. But I think the big thing for us is just, you know, executing and us making our plays and doing our thing.
Here's the thing, though. I don't love the process of this. I know Mike Tomlin said what happens in the stadium means more than what happens in practice. But I mean, we don't know if the Detroit Lions are playing anybody, so that's who they're playing against. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how this is the true test, you know?
Mm.
Like, if you're the coaching staff, you've got all the info, right? You've seen it all. You've seen every rep. You've seen every meeting. You know way more than we know. You know how the teammates are responding. All the stuff that goes into who wins the starting job, presumably. So to leave it up to a third preseason game, I feel like is totally flawed. And, again, I will continue to tell you that Justin Fields should be the starter. The idea that the veteran starts and then the younger guy comes in, the only reason why people think that way is because that's just the way it's been done in the past. That actually doesn't make sense for this current Pittsburgh Steelers team, who no matter who they put out on the field, mm-hmm. is likely going to be in the hunt for the playoffs and hovering around a .500 record. The end of the season is so brutal for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're one of those teams that has to play 3 games in 10 days, and it's crazy. It's just all AFC North opponents backloaded at the end. Start Fields, see what he can do with the offense, and if you have to go to Russ, then he's the steadier hand. Like that, this has always made more sense in my mind, and I don't think Russ should start the season, not to mention the calf issue, which he's working through.
Yeah, I just feel like Russell Wilson's the better quarterback to get the ball to Pickens, to get it to Freiermuth. I just think if you're Russell Wilson seems to me to have a little bit of a higher upside in sort of running a full offense. Because Justin Fields, I feel like you're just recreating last year's Bears, which was up and down, kind of messy.
7-win team. I mean, he missed some time, but.
Yeah, but how many yards did he throw for? I mean.
Listen, that. He showed improvement, though. Like, that's the thing about Fields. It's like there's more room to grow with him. Where Russ, I know what Russ is. You're right. He is the steadier quarterback in terms of he's not going to throw the ball. But if he's going to be taking sacks that are consistently putting you in 3rd and 13, then I don't see the offense being able to move that way either. At least Fields can get himself out of trouble with his legs.
Well, here's the bottom line. I think you're saying go with Fields just so he can run around.
He can also get the ball to Pickens, I think. But yes.
I don't.
Especially if the offensive line is not good to start the season. Yes, give me the more mobile guy.
I just don't know if Fields can get the ball to the weapons. That's why I would at least try Russ. Like, I think there's more upside in that sense. Believe it or not, there's more upside offensively. Like, Fields, if what all the reports are coming out that, like, he's really not seeing the field perfectly here in Pittsburgh, not that Russ is either.
Yeah.
Then I would probably go Russ. I feel like you might as well, you know, shoot for the moon and hope that Russell Wilson recreates. Like the upside of Russ, say you got Russ 3 years ago, that'd be awesome. But I understand what you're saying. Fields feels like, well, we stink anyway. Might as well have Justin Fields try and make plays with his legs. That's like
so
giving
funny.
Up already.
I think the opposite. I think the shoot for the moon is Fields. Ross is is going to be more of a very basic quarterback now. The shoot for the moon, the higher ceiling right now is Fields. And, you know, this is the last quarterback battle remaining, unless you want to buy into the New England Patriots with Drake May and Jacoby Brissett. But this is it. This is like everything else has really been determined. Bo Nix got named the starter yesterday.
Well, you said Drake May and Jacoby. Yeah.
Drake May, but like that's a little bit less stakes. And I think Drake May is going to win it. But this is two guys who, you know, are both in Pittsburgh for one reason, which is to change their fortunes, change their narratives, and change their legacies in a lot of ways. Like, there's just so much on this quarterback battle, and both guys are desperate.
Definitely. I'm stuck on that one pass that Russ threw down to George Pickens, where his toenail was out of bounds.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Russ throws one of these great deep passes in NFL history.
If he has no time, Pearl, how's he going to... You know, like if the offensive line is collapsing on him, those deep balls are not coming.
Again, right? I mean, you're already giving up on the team. You're basically saying their offensive line is going to be terrible because Broderick Jones was terrible last game. They've had a lot of injuries. There's rookies everywhere. You're already giving up and saying, like, that's not a great... If there's no time, what you're saying is Justin Fields, go make something happen. That's just... It's 2024. Is that our plan here?
Well, I kind of think it might be the plan. 855-212-4227. All right, this is coming down to the preseason third game, allegedly. Again, I hate that process. Like, really? So if the Lions have all their third stringers out there, and Russ looks great.
You have a one.
You're going to say Russ? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
You have a quarterback in your room. You have a $1 million quarterback, and you have a guy you traded a 6th-round pick for. It's not like you have the number 2 overall pick sitting there. What process? They're cobbling together the quarterback position. You will admit that. This is not exactly like, do you like that process? You like the process? What part of the process did you like?
Well, they took a flyer on both guys.
Yeah, they took two flyers. So I think that's why it's going down the end. Like they obviously did not have a surefire answer at quarterback.
No, they don't. But if you're going to take two flyers, don't you check out the younger guy first? He's the guy with the more upside. The veteran, Russ, what are we in year 12, 13 with Russ? We know what that's going to be. That's what I would do. Again,
I feel like Russ is such a flyer too, because you really have no idea what he's going to do. I mean, talk about it. It's like there's no rhyme or reason to... What is Russ going to be? Do you have any idea?
Well, if Russ...
Is he going to be Russ from Seattle? Is he going to be Russ from Denver?
If he doesn't play well here, he's not going to get a job again.
But he's just such an unorthodox quarterback anyway. There's not a lot of rhyme or reason with either of these quarterbacks. I have no idea how good Justin Fields is, and he's 25. He's been in the league 3 years. He was in Chicago, and now he goes to another completely flawed project here in Pittsburgh. He could end up playing his whole career without ever getting a legit shot at a good offense. It happens. Yep. I mean, it's a system league in a lot of ways.
855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in on the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback situation. Now, we've got a couple things brewing here this morning that have really kind of come almost out of nowhere. A long-term bet was made on the show this morning. So this one's going to take a little while to pay off, but Perloff and I do not see eye to eye on what is the future of Dak Prescott in Dallas. So I think this is his last season in Dallas. Perloff thinks... like death and taxes, Jerry re-signing his own players, and Dak will be the quarterback there until the end of time, until the asteroid hits, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's got another 9 years in the Big D.
Then he can just go right into the Fox booth.
But, you know, he's already the longest tenured starter in the NFL. That cracks me up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even close.
With Brady gone. Well, Aaron Rodgers, with one team.
With one team.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So... we don't agree. I think this is Prescott's last year. Perloff says it's not with Dallas. We are borrowing from a sort of famous fantasy football challenge that happened a couple years ago where the loser of the fantasy football league had to go sit at a Waffle House for 24 hours. And every waffle he ate, 1 hour came off the clock. Now, Perloff, worried about his figure?
My girlish figure.
How will you put the thirst traps out on Instagram without your girlish figure? Doesn't want the carbs. Please, throw rotten fruit at this man. Boo. Worried about the carbs for one food challenge. But anyway, he doesn't want the carbs, so he wants to eat cheese omelets. And he just wore me down. So, like, if I lose, I'll do the waffles, and if he loses, I'll let him do the cheese omelets. To be honest, I'm more worried for your health with the cheese omelets.
Okay, I put out a poll. Which is healthier, 24 cheese omelets or 24 waffles with syrup? 68% said cheese omelets. Our former boss, Spike Eskin, said this isn't even close. Someone asked me if I'm that naive about nutrition. a Belgian waffle at IHOP has 600 calories, 29 grams of fat, and 17 grams of sugar. The waffles are tough.
Okay, but Waffle House waffles are not Belgium. They're thinner. Yes, you guys have eaten at a Waffle House.
It's not even close. Obviously, the omelets are the healthier choice. Okay. I feel bad about that.
Ask Spike Eskin. Ask our former boss, Spike Eskin, if you should be able to change the terms of a bet because you don't want the carbs. I mean, that in and of itself.
That's not the question here. That is not the question.
But
the question
I would love
is
to
which
know
is
his
healthier.
Response to that.
The question is which is healthier. Well, EJ, you think it's the waffles?
Bro, I understand your thing on the waffles. I totally get it. It is not healthy to eat 24-hour waffles. I think you are greatly underestimating the cholesterol in 24 egg omelets with cheese.
Yeah.
Like,
have you guys
you
ever
talk
done
about,
it? Do you ever
talk about having a heart attack? I mean, like, that will give it to you right there. I mean, that sounds dangerous.
No. You guys are stuck in an old nutrition model. Like, protein is king now.
No,
if you're in the Atkins diet, that's a Tuesday.
Though.
Yeah, but I mean, how many eggs would you be putting down? Say you eat 12 omelets or whatever, 13, however many you can get down to try to get out of the Waffle House as quickly as you can. I mean, you might be eating like 2 or 3 dozen eggs.
Yeah, you guys are wrong. You guys, I think we need to go back to health class. Like, the omelet is way healthier than the waffle.
But you can't do egg whites.
I'm not doing egg whites.
You got to go full yolks.
Doesn't matter. Yolks are even better for you probably because you get more fat in there. Which is good because it satiates you. Like, the nutrition has changed. The thing you avoid is sugar.
No, I get it.
Like
but this is also a food challenge. This isn't our new diet for the rest of our lives.
Well, no,
that's
but you're saying two things. Like, understand that. If the cheese omelets are more dangerous, I'll take them on.
No, but here's the thing. This is not, like, thank you, health class. But here's the thing. This is supposed to be a punishment, and this is supposed to be a bet, and it's only a one-time thing. This isn't you have to eat waffles for the rest of your life. This is one day, and they're both going to be unhealthy, so you might as well do the waffle thing.
I just don't want to take down all those calories.
Again, I mean, you think
probably,
I do?
The waffles are probably, of 24 versus 24, we're talking, like, five times as many calories?
No, Kaplan did the math on the Waffle House website. It's
but I don't
both
think
about 9,000 calories. You don't have to put syrup on. That's dealer's choice.
I want to go cheese omelets. What's the big deal? Can I do cheese omelets?
It's the reason why you want to do the cheese omelets. It's because you don't want the carbs and the calories. That's just not in the spirit.
I just think the fact that he doesn't want to do is why he should. That should be part of the thing. It shouldn't be like, well, like that's why you want to be right. That's why you want to win.
Yeah, I didn't want to eat the tuna jelly, but I did it.
All right, I'm out on the bet.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
I just don't want to eat 24 waffles.
I mean, did you think I wanted to eat a jar of jelly? I did it.
Yes, I definitely think you wanted to eat a jar of jelly. You're the one who invented that bet.
No, it was the jelly, the peanut butter. Someone's going to have to eat a loaf of bread at one point. Maybe Nico. 855-212.
Nico could use a loaf of bread.
4227.
I might just go eat 24 cheese omelets for fun.
Film it?
Yeah. I would definitely do that. I'm just not eating 24 waffles over a stupid Cowboys quarterback position when Jerry is going to be at the point where he makes his decision. He's going to be 9 scotches in. You think I'm going to put 24 waffles on that? No way.
I mean,
well, I have a question though about this bet because you don't. So if we're doing, are we doing the Waffle House bet? Because you don't have to eat 24.
Yeah,
waffles.
See, that's the thing. If we're
you
doing,
you can just sit. You can just sit there as long as you want.
So that's the thing. That was the bet that these guys did. Where every waffle you eat takes an hour off your 24 hours.
Yeah, totally.
So you don't have to eat 24 waffles or 24 omelets.
Great. I'm out unless I can do omelets.
Perloff, I feel like we already had the equivalent of shaking on this, though.
Yeah, you said omelets.
Ha! It's not in the spirit of it.
That's cool. I'll do any other bet. I'm not doing this anymore. If I can't do omelets, I'm going to be a little kid and stomp off.
Just taking your ball and going home. You're a grown up.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I don't want to eat all those waffles. I'm fine.
New poll. Can you back out of a bet because you don't want to eat waffles?
No. Well, we could go with the agreed bet. Just change the terms. I'll give you that bet for sure.
Because you're worried about you honestly. Here's the thing, though.
No, it's a principle at this point.
No. Eating.
You said I could do omelets, and now you're changing the terms.
No, this.
An hour later, nah, I'm out.
But wait, hold on. This is the other thing. You eat all these waffles. You're not going to gain a pound. Like, doing one thing for one day, it's not going to, like, all of a sudden you're going to look like the Kool-Aid man. You've been eating healthy and exercising your whole life. One day is not going to derail you. It's like a cheat day.
Okay.
So you can do the waffles. You're not going to, all of a sudden your pants aren't going to fit.
I agreed to the bet before, and now that you want to change the terms, I'm just out. Why can't you go with the original terms? Why does that bother you so much?
Because you're doing it for the carbs. It just feels a little like I shouldn't let you wiggle out of this over carbs and vanity.
Okay.
You know? Am I in the wrong here or am I in the right?
Nico, she did say the cheese omelet bet was on, right?
I'm going to go back and listen actually when we go to break to get confirmation, but I think so.
I just think that... You probably shouldn't agree to it in the first place. I was like, Maggie let one slip through the goalie there. You shouldn't have let me off the hook, and you did.
Well,
once you get your terms set, it's just hard to go back to different terms.
Well, Kaplan said omelets sound gross. Let him do it.
Yeah, by the way, like, you're forgetting the fact that I'm volunteering, if I lose the bet, to eat 24 omelets.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Or 23 omelets, because I will be done in an hour. I'll also eat, you got to get grits or potatoes on the side. I love, love, love home fries.
Oh, man. 855-212-4227. Where is the closest Waffle House, by the way? Can we check that out as well?
I think somewhere in Jersey.
In Jersey has Waffle Houses.
Okay. Just making sure. I don't want this to be easy. We got to drive to San Antonio again. We'd be in like the Smoky Mountains.
Oh, I could do it on the way to San Antonio.
But then you'd be alone.
I might. Yeah. Well... Yeah, I guess I could find a local to fill a camera crew. Oh, you guys all want to come with me?
Well,
but that's a long time in a Waffle House.
I want to drop in, say hi, make a cameo, sit there for a cup of coffee, talk some trash and leave.
This could easily be you, too.
And
you want to do the waffles over the cheese omelets. So I'll give you both choices.
Yeah, I'd rather have the waffles.
You shouldn't do. You should do the omelets. 24 waffles is a bad idea, Mac. That's a lot of waffles.
It is, but something I feel like I'm going to end up with on a defibrillator.
The problem actually with the cheese omelets is the cheese, not the eggs. 24 eggs in 24 hours, like, that's not...
No, there's three egg omelets.
Yeah, that's not as many. That's not that bad.
I can't do that math in my head, but it's a lot
actually,
of eggs.
Yeah, I mean, that could probably kill you. You're right. But Rocky, in the beginning of Rocky, he puts like a dozen eggs into one glass.
Is it a dozen? I thought he does like three.
I got to look back.
I don't remember that. I remember the scene, but I don't remember how many raw eggs
Nico,
are in the glass.
After you check the sound, see how many eggs Rocky puts in
his glass. How many eggs did Rocky put in his
glass?
855-212-4227. So that's what's brewing here today. We got another thing going on that is going to happen in just about an hour or so. We'll get to that next. We say good morning to our incredible Infinity Sports Radio affiliates. We love the SiriusXM channel 158, the free Odyssey app. You can listen to our show a million ways. If you want to watch the show, you can do that too. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and at Maggie Gray on X. We got a bit of a visual thing coming up in about an hour. We'll tell you about that right after this. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, so we have something cooking this morning that got started because college football coaches Brian Kelly and Lane Kiffin were kind of griping back and forth, sniping back and forth about drinking Coca-Cola. Okay, it got us to a discussion about bottled water, just stay with me on this, and whether you can tell the difference between different bottled waters. Nico's in with us today, said he can't tell the difference. Evian, Dasani, Poland Spring, just all the same to him. That sounds crazy to the rest of us. I think I can not only tell the difference, I think I can pick out which water is which.
Mm.
And so we're going to do a challenge. Pearl, if you're going to do it as well.
Yeah, I think this sounds really hard because, you know, you say that, but just picture a cup of water in front of you. That's like, when you taste like Aquafina, you think, oh, like that tastes like Aquafina. But just a regular cup of water in front of you, I think it's going to be harder than you think.
Aquafina tastes like carrots to me, so I think I'm going to be able to get that one, I think. But that's even if Billy Jacalone bought Aquafina. He bought five different waters. We don't even know what the brands are.
I can tell you we do not have a bottle of Aquafina.
Ah,
there is no Aquafina
should have told me.
There.
Okay. Dexter Henry's with us. So, Dexter, you're going to set this whole experiment up for us.
I am. I'm going to set it up.
And we're going to see if you can actually tell the difference between bottled water.
Let's go. going to be interesting.
We do nothing but the highest level stuff around here. I mean, you can't get that anywhere on any other morning radio show.
That's
different waters, yeah. Guys. We're out of control.
So like Billy not to buy Awkwafina. Typical Billy Jackalone. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. How can he not buy Awkwafina? Like, that's the one that's in every store.
It's also the most controversial.
Now you did say something to me that Dasani is Coca-Cola and Awkwafina is Pepsi. I'll bet stores can't have both.
Mm.
Bet you there's some sort of contract situation. This is big money we're talking about. In fact, if we want to form Maggie and Perloff water brand, we can make a lot of cash off that. Like energy water, like that's like the thing now.
Getting into the water business?
Yeah.
It's kind of crowded though.
Well, no, there's a new thing, like kind of high energy water that is water with caffeine and stuff like that.
That is true. That water's out there.
Man,
I don't know. Kobe made a lot of money off Body Armor, and like there's just a lot of like money to be thrown away on these beverages, which are all basically the same.
And by the way, have you tried to buy a bottled water lately, let alone at a stadium or like watching a sporting event? I've bought an $8 bottle of water at a sporting event before.
Oh, yeah.
And felt like, oh, I guess that's just the going rate. I mean, we're all such suckers here. I just love thinking back to like old Howard Stern shows where they have like women coming into the studio and like stripping naked, and we are like testing bottled water.
<It's>, not quite the same.
Very different kind of morning shows, but we have our own kind of fun here. So if you want to watch this all go down, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray. We do have Heisman picks for you today, but let's hold off on that for a second. Dexter Henry has headlines for us.
All right. We've got a trade in the NFL, and relax, Niners fans, it doesn't involve Brandon Ayuk. The Browns are sending kicker Cade York to the Commanders for a conditional 7th-round pick. Does that excite you, Andrew?
Whoa. How did I not get
an alert? I was just trying to go back to the excitement. I knew that was not going to excite
you. No, Perloff only gets excited by backup quarterbacks.
Oh, my God. I feel like I should know this. Was Cade York drafted? I feel like he was drafted. Check that.
I believe so. Shows me.
I have a big issue with drafting kickers, by the way, because
4th round.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi.
And if they don't work out, like you're like, you don't want to come. You're like, we used to pick on this guy. So I feel like I like kickers off the street. That's my style.
How about the Bears who used the 4th round pick on a punter?
Yeah.
We've had a big turn in Hard Knocks this last weekend. Australian punter.
The Australian guy, punter
at Iowa. They're like, this is our best weapon. I'm like, oh. You want to play the field position game, don't get me wrong, but best weapon, that's tough.
So what was the conditional pick? 7th round?
7th round conditional pick.
That is a lame trade.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
The worst possible trade. Like, you got me so excited there, and all you could give me was a kicker trade?
Wait, so who's the Browns kicker now? Let's see.
That is a good question. Do not know that.
Let's see.
I was trolling the people with this trade.
I love it. Listen, we're asking for headlines. This is the news.
Yeah.
You know what? When I'm thinking of the drafted kicker, it's Jake Moody is the kicker in San Francisco, and they drafted him, right? They're actually in the 3rd round.
Yep.
Do you trust that guy? Like, if you're doing Super Bowl picks.
He made that big kick in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I mean, do you trust that guy?
I didn't trust him, but then he made that big kick in the Super Bowl.
Now you got to trust him.
I don't know. The thing is, he's a 3rd-round pick, so he's got job security there. I don't think they love him there.
What's the highest you would take a kicker? Highest round?
I would never draft
you'd
a
never?
Kicker. I would never draft a kicker.
You're not going to Sebastian Janikowski this thing? First rounder?
Nah, I do love Seabass, but no. Would you guys draft a kicker?
No.
Yes.
Well, what, like 6th-round, 7th-round, not 4th-round?
Not that early, but... anything beyond the 5th round? Yes.
Yeah, I'm with DJ.
Yeah, but
the Browns are going with Dustin Hopkins, by the way.
It doesn't. Oh, I love Dustin Hopkins. He was great last year too. But I don't love drafting kickers because it's so dicey. You never know. I mean, the GOAT Justin Tucker wasn't drafted. So, like, if he's not drafted, why do you have to draft one? You can just get one.
I want to take my chance. I could find the next Justin Tucker. I wouldn't, because that guy can win you championships.
Definitely.
Like, I think it's an important position. Like, I get your logic, Pearl, 100%. I would take, if I thought a guy was really good, I would take the flyer.
They're so important.
Right. But it doesn't work. Like, the drafting just doesn't work. There's not, as far as I know, there's not a great correlation between drafting guys and the best kickers.
Well, big news today for the Browns and for the Commanders.
Yeah. Big news. Big trade.
I mean,
Sebastian was good. I mean, he wasn't a first round pick good. But, I mean, he could kick it from anywhere.
Yeah.
But he deserved to be drafted. Maybe not, obviously not the 1st round.
It was a real zag.
I will never forget that draft. No. That was insane.
It's an insane move to do.
Real Zach. That's an understatement.
You know, you got to find the, what are the inefficiencies or whatever. Got to capitalize it. Moneyball style. What else we got, Dexter?
All right. One of the world's most famous athletes continues to set records on social media. On Wednesday, Cristiano Ronaldo launched his YouTube channel. Millions of subscribers signed up within hours. It was an immediate hit. Within 90 minutes, the forward had broken the world record for becoming the fastest channel to hit 1 million subscribers. He now is 18 million and counting. How long would it take either of you to reach 1 million subscribers on your personal YouTube channel?
I mean, we probably have a better shot with an OnlyFans, and I don't think we even have much of a shot with that, to be fair.
I think this water challenge should put us over the top. I mean, you got Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo on one hand, water challenge, like, you
maybe
know.
Maybe pull off eating waffles if you finally cave, or cheese omelets. Maybe that gets us to
people
a million.
People will want to see that.
What's he going to put on the channel, just his life?
He's posted, I believe it was 19 videos and stuff with his life, family, that kind of behind the scenes stuff. That's what it's mostly going to be.
His life, where does he live, Saudi Arabia now?
Now he's in Saudi Arabia. He's playing for Al Nassr in the Saudi League. So that's what he's doing now.
Does
he really need another income stream? Like, I know he had some tax stuff.
Yeah,
but
about to say, that guy, we don't know. Where the money is a great question.
He like needs to be a side hustle as like an influencer. He's like trying different protein powders and stuff. Like, I don't even know what this
I wonder,
is about.
You know, because he was in big trouble if he took that Saudi money because he needed the money.
I think it was just too much to turn down, he felt.
Yeah. And little work at this point in his career, so he had to.
Don't worry, he'll end up in MLS. They all do.
You know, he's one guy we've been waiting for, right? Like, MLS is like obviously they got Messi, but I don't know.
He'll end up here.
You're so sure he's big star, but
huge star. All right, guys. Since the Tua Tagovailoa comments about former Dolphins coach Brian Flores surfaced, Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel hadn't been asked whether the situation creates a distraction. That was until Wednesday, when an interview aired on SportsCenter where Sal Palantonio asked McDaniel if he has any concern that Tua's criticism of Flores will be a distraction for the team. McDaniel said, quote, absolutely not. It won't be a distraction, and that he has no concern. Do either of you believe the comments where Tua called Flores a terrible person will be a distraction for Tua and the Fins?
No, just Perloff and I are going to be starting now a weekly power ranking that only exists between two people, Tua and Brian Flores. And it's going to be like the Pac-2 now with Oregon State and Washington State. Just they're going to just flip-flop every time. But this is the only power ranking we're going to do. Tua versus Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores, and see who's in the lead.
So, absolutely. Like, I mean, listen. Both of them have major problems on their hands that are not each other. Like, Tua, Tyreek Hill's already banged up, right? Tua himself is always an injury waiting to happen. I just feel like keep
Miami
healthy.
The Vikings are starting Sam Darnold.
Like, don't even think about anybody outside the building. Just keep somebody healthy. And Minnesota's problem is not Sam Darnold. Minnesota's problem is very simple. Jordan Love, the Lions juggernaut, and maybe Caleb Williams now. Maybe Caleb Williams. Like, Brian Flores has got bigger problems than Tua Tagovailoa. That's the ironic part about this power ranking. Like, both guys have big challenges ahead. That's all I'm saying.
Can
I quickly go to Andy here in Michigan, who wants to weigh in on our waffle bet? Sorry, one sec. I want to see what Andy has to say. Andy, you've been listening to the show. This is going to be a big bet now between Perloff and myself if it actually gets across the finish line. About eating waffles versus cheese omelets. And this is all connected on whether or not Dak Prescott remains Cowboys quarterback past this season. Andy, what do you have?
Okay, well, guys, I think both of you shouldn't do this bet at all. But this is mostly for the time thing. You guys talking about like how you had 24 hours to do it, and you're like, oh, yeah, I could eat blah, blah, blah in 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
Now, don't let the time fool you. So I did one of these food challenges, right? It was a local bar. The challenge was 10 chili dogs in 4 hours, and your bill was free. I'm like, oh, that should be easy. Well, I got to about 7, and it was just over an hour, and I hit a wall, and I was so full. And the last place I wanted to be was staying at this local bar for another 3 hours to try to get 10 freaking or three more chili dogs. I was miserable. The place you're going to want to go is home. And my bill ended up being $50, and I left, and I was fine with that. So
So I just want you to just think about that.
Chili dogs, dude. I mean, nobody's taking a chili dog challenge. I can't believe this is even offered. That's terrifying.
And I will never eat another chili dog ever again.
Yeah, I believe that,
so
Andy.
This might sour you on omelets and waffles for the rest of your life. So I just want to just get that out there.
Andy, I mean, we commend you. The fact that you got 7 down, I'm actually kind of shocked. You couldn't get the last 3 in 3 hours?
I know. I didn't want to stay. I was done.
Oh, my friend. Feeling for you. And how many years ago was that?
Oh, that was a long time ago. That was like 10 years ago.
And you still have the bad memory. Still have the PTSD.
Yes.
Oh, Andy, thanks for weighing in. Does that discourage you? Andy's trying to warn us. Don't do this.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea. It's just an awful, awful idea to do this.
Well, only one of us is going to do it because one of us is going to win the bet and one of us is going to lose.
I'm not doing it unless it's omelets. And by the way, 24 omelets is incredibly dangerous, so I don't even know why you guys don't want to see that.
You suggested it.
Yeah, no, I know.
You said waffles. I don't think waffles is dangerous for you. So 3 omelets, 3 eggs in each omelet. You don't have to eat 24 omelets. But if you did, 3 times 24, 72, 6 dozen eggs. It's a lot.
6 dozen
eggs? Is that
right?
Yeah.
They're not going to feel good.
And cheese, too.
And cheese.
You're talking about hash browns just for fun?
Let me Google, is this safe? Hold on one second.
Okay, Dex, do you have anything else for us?
I do. We have a deal in the NFL. The Falcons are signing standout cornerback A.J. Terrell to a 4-year, $81 million deal that includes $65.8 million of effectively full guarantees. That is the largest guarantee ever given to a corner on a 4-year deal. Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting that one.
Wow. Was he their second-round pick out of Alabama a couple years ago, right, A.J. Terrell? Does that sound familiar?
Yep,
yeah, good for him.
Correct.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that update, Dexter. Coming up next, Perloff and I have our Heisman picks for this year. We already gave you who we think is making the 12-team college football playoff. Now we've got our Heisman picks for you. Stay tuned. We're doing that next. Coming up in less than an hour, we'll do our bottled water challenge. Can we tell the difference blindly between different bottled waters? Nothing but edgy content right here on The Morning Show with Maggie and Perloff.
Yeah, this is one of those ones. Do you want to win that challenge or do you look kind of pretentious if you do win it?
Oh, man. Okay, so college football, it's here. It's week 0. It's time for Perloff and I to make our Heisman Trophy picks. All right, Perloff, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think we did this last year. We were still in the afternoon at the time. And we did an SEC quarterback draft, and this guy went really high. He is one of my favorite college football players in a long time. And it's a bit of wishful thinking, but I'm going Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe.
Okay.
I think that his passing will improve with Kellen DeBoer as coach, because Kellen DeBoer obviously runs a great passing offense. Now, last year he had 23 touchdowns, 6 picks. He's an incredible runner. I just feel like he is going to be older and more comfortable. And Alabama might not win the SEC, but with the 12-team playoff, I think that's enough success. To get into the 12-team playoff and have good stats is enough to win you the Heisman. I don't think they have to go undefeated to give him the Heisman. So I love Milroe, and I don't know if he's a pro. I think that's a really great – he's not really tall. He's not really a classic passer yet, but I feel like he's going to be awesome this year at Alabama.
It's not a bad pick because, what is it, 10-1 with Jalen Milroe?
I don't have the odds in front of me, sorry.
And he got votes last year. So you can tell that the voters did like what he was doing last year. And if he's more consistent this year, then maybe he gets to the top of the podium.
He's going to have some of those highlight 75-yard runs, too.
Yeah.
That, you know, you need your moment. Feels like a moment guy.
Okay. I'm going to go really off the board here on this one. And there are a lot of great quarterbacks this year, but none of them, in my opinion, really stand out over the other, right? So you want to say Jalen Milroe, how much of a difference really between him and Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck and the favorites, obviously, Oregon quarterback Dillon Gabriel at plus 700. But here's the thing. I think all these quarterbacks could really cancel each other out. So I want to take the first non-QB with the highest odds, and that's Travis Hunter from Colorado. And if Travis Hunter has the type of season, Pearl, where he can stay healthy, and if he's playing both ways, for Deion Sanders. I think that elevates him in a way because it's different. It's unique. And if one of these other quarterbacks, if it's all just like, all right, good stats, but nobody, you know, really distinguishes themselves, I think Travis Hunter, just for the reason of him being so different, I think that the Heisman voters would respond to that, and they would you know, reward that. So he's 50-1. It's not good odds. He's a super dark horse, but if all these other QBs are just okay, I think Travis Hunter finds a way. Again, he's got to stay healthy, you know, or Colorado has to overachieve, but mostly he has to be awesome. You're talking about Heisman moments. Travis Hunter has a chance to give you Heisman moments on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball. And I think that could be pretty appealing to voters. So take Travis Hunter.
What about splitting with Shador? Because if Travis Hunter has a good season, that means Shador had a good season. And maybe the voters flip-flop them in their rankings. So maybe that takes it. If it's really close, I feel like Shador Sanders would steal a lot of votes. And by the way, Shador, in this scenario, if Shador is good, he's got that Sanders last name, I think he's going to be a popular choice as well.
Yeah.
Because if Travis Hunter has a great season, that means the team wasn't terrible. And
30-1 odds. But here's the thing about Shador. So first of all, if Travis has, you know, interceptions and things that have nothing to do with Shador, and he's, you know, flipping the field in a way and helping on the defensive side, I think he really separates himself from Shador. And then I just want to bring this up. So I think Deion does help, like his star power would make this more appealing for both Travis Hunter and Shador. But there is a part of Deion, I think, that I wonder if maybe he hurts his son too. You know, Deion, like, let's see how this goes here this season. Because he had the highs of the high last year, and everyone was bought in. And even if you weren't, then you were labeled a hater. And even if you didn't like Colorado, you couldn't look away. It was just too fascinating, right? But now there's been some other things, right, where it's just like these, you know, reports that are unconfirmed about issues in the locker room, and there's already a little maybe dimming of the stardom, maybe a little bit of Deion, and I don't know if the bravado then helps Shador. You know what I'm saying? Does Deion end up hurting Shador? I can't tell.
But, I mean, same phenomenon with Travis Hunter, though?
Yeah, see, I think Hunter is just different because the reason why he would get the Heisman, in my opinion, is because just the playing both sides of the field and being wide receiver, DB, and all of that.
No, like, I totally.
And maybe some kick returns and who knows what else.
Yeah, I mean, okay, and just define your terms a little bit. Like, how much success does Colorado have for this kind of scenario to unfold?
I think they've got to be bowl eligible.
So a bowl eligible Travis Hunter versus a quarterback of an undefeated team.
I know it's a long shot. I get it.
Yeah.
But again, I think all these quarterbacks are going to be kind of similar. You know, is Dylan Gabriel that much better than Carson Beck, or is it just going to be the numbers? Is Quinn Ewers, you know, versus Jalen Milroe? It's not one guy. Like, there's no, at least right now, there's no obvious guy.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, last year, one thing about a Milroe, like last year, Jaden Daniels was just so stunning. I mean, there was Caleb Williams was great. Like, there are a lot of great quarterbacks. Bo Nix was great.
Yep.
But if you have a guy who throws for 300 yards and runs for 150 yards against Alabama and all these other teams, I think it'll blow you away. Yeah, it's funny. Travis Hunter was not even on my list of guys who I was looking at because there's so many. I feel like there's a lot of good choices this year.
Do you think Shador helps or hurts? Deion helps or hurts Shador's candidacy for a Heisman?
Oh, it definitely helps.
Helps,
it makes
right?
him 20 times more visible.
Yeah, see, I that's my instinct also, right? Yeah. Deion helps everything. It's just more attention and more interest, and he's just such an interesting person. But now I'm like, man, does it flip a little bit? Are people getting a little sick of what Deion's doing? Is a little too much bravado? If something comes out more tangibly from some of these reports that are now more like rumors, does that hurt? I don't know.
If they win week one, the media will jump on so fast and so furious, you won't even know. You'll get knocked out of the way. No, but they're off in this offseason. It's a bad, people are making fun of him. He's yelled at a reporter. All you need is one win and the media gets back, and then you need a loss and the media will jump off. You know how it is. Tear them up, build them up, tear them down. Wait, can we talk about some of the other candidates? So,
of course.
What about this kid at Tennessee?
Yeah.
And I hate saying his last name, Nico Iamaleva. Everyone is talking about him. A lot of people are like, I saw that a lot of guys are picking him.
Yeah. How do you say his last name again?
Is it Iamaleva?
I thought it was Iamaleva, but maybe it's Iamaleva.
Oh, Iamaleva?
I think we need the pronunciation guide on this one. Iamaleva? Okay, he's great, and he's supposed to be awesome. I'd love to know how to correctly pronounce his last name too.
It's Eva, not... You say it's Ava, not Eva?
And I think we're missing a syllable in there, actually. I think there's an extra syllable in there that we're not getting. Iamaleva? I think there might be a little extra syllable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I want to make sure we get this right, because this dude is awesome. And I really was close to putting Tennessee in my college football 12 teams. I felt bad leaving them out. I went with Mizzou because I like the quarterback wide receiver connection. Yeah, EJ, what is it?
I'm going to give this a shot here, but this is how you're supposed to pronounce it. Iamaleva.
Yeah, right. We were missing a syllable.
It's the ah. It's the ah before the va that you missed.
Yeah, yeah. Say it again.
Iamaleva.
Do a DJ use name.
Or actually, I think it's, sorry, it's E.
Ava.
It's E. Yeah, it's because it's like E-E is the first thing.
Iamaleva.
Iamaleva.
Nico, say it again.
No, now I lost it. Wait.
Iamaleva. Pretty sure it's how you say it. Iamaleva.
Nico, say it. Now Nico has to listen to it. Yeah, we'll get it.
Iamaleva.
Say it again.
Iamaleva.
Iamaleva. Iamaleva. Okay. Yeah, Perloff and I were both off. Good player, man. Really, really good.
Well, I mean, you say that, but I mean, we haven't seen a ton of him.
What's that?
Of
no,
this
the projection
man.
Of him is great.
No, I
and
yeah,
a Josh
yeah.
Heupel offense like that. Yeah, you no, should look good in that.
We say he's a good player, but I'm saying there's a lot, little unknown there. He's a bit of a, yeah, because listen, we said Joe Milton was going to be awesome last year, and what happened?
Well, if you believe some of the reports, he almost won the Patriots job.
No, but I'm saying, like, he definitely struggled. I think sometimes we underestimate how good Hendon Hooker was in this offense.
Who else do you want to talk about?
Okay, so Dillie Gabriel should put up massive numbers, too, and, yep. Like, if we have, I guess, another bet about whether it be a first rounder.
Yep.
I feel like people just love Oregon. Everyone loves Dan Lanning. That feels like a safe bet. I know the odds aren't good.
Yeah, he's the favorite.
What about our guy, Ollie, at Oklahoma State? Maybe go
running back?
It's been a lot. When's the last running back? There's got to be. This one, Mark Ingram was the last one. There's got to be one before that.
Derrick Henry, 2015.
2015, yeah. Okay.
It's so, been almost a decade.
At least 9 years. Devontae Smith surprised me. He said, we're really a lot of wide receivers. I'd like them to go off the board. It does feel like actually a wide open year in the sense that, like, Caleb Williams won it 2 years ago and was coming back. But then again, I mean, in a million years, we did not see Jaden Daniels.
So the first, like, non-quarterback was my pick, Travis Hunter. And the second non-quarterback is Missouri's wide receiver, Luther Burden. And him and Brady Cook are the reasons why I picked Mizzou to make the playoff. And then it's Ollie Gordon, the second, is three in a row. And then it just goes back to quarterbacks and then some more running backs after that. Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson. So the two Ohio State running backs. Donovan Edwards, 80-1. All right. So there you go. It's down in written in stone. I think Travis Hunter will win the Heisman. And Perloff is taking
Jalen Milroe. I would have taken Iamaleva. Iamaleva.
Exactly.
Do we have a nickname?
We need a nickname.
I ought to hear Mad Dog do this name.